I'm going to read a very familiar story, and this is a story that we are very, very familiar with. It's from Luke chapter 15, and it's the story of the lost son. We read from verse 11 of that chapter. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here am I, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. But his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found.'" May the Lord bless to us our reading from his holy word. Amen. Well, dear friends, what's new to say about the parable of the lost son, or the story of the prodigal son? It's an amazing story. On every Father's Day, I'm always, led to preach from this. So this is probably the 36th time you've heard this sermon. Well, it must be close to that anyway. All I would say is, what a story. What a magnificent story of the revelation of God's love. You can't have a better story than this. Remember that Jesus was speaking to two groups of people here. He was speaking to the outcasts, the sinners, those who were considered to be lost in terms of those who were the religious people of the day. The Pharisees and scribes were there as well. Tax collectors and sinners were there with the Pharisees and scribes. And in the way that Jesus always does, he told these stories, included in this chapter, to challenge both the self-righteousness of the Pharisees and the lostness of the son that would have been considered beyond redemption by the religious people of the day. Now, you're familiar with the story. In case you haven't heard it before, it's a story of a young boy who asked for his inheritance. He came to his father and said, "Look, I want my inheritance now." And the father gave him, yielded to his request. He took the money, went to a distant land. As soon as the money ran out, and he spent it all on wild, reckless living, he found himself eating the food of pigs. Nobody wanted him. And he thought of home. And he thought to himself, even the servants in my father's house are in a better situation than I am. If I go back, and perhaps my father would take me back as a servant, even a slave in the kitchen, I'd be glad to go back just to keep body and soul together. And so he made his way home. And the father saw him coming. An old Jewish gentleman picked up his robes and ran to him and kissed him and blessed him and welcomed him home with such a love that was so astounding. Everything that had been lost had been restored to him. But there was an older son who wasn't willing. He pooted. Well, we're like a pooty now and again, don't we? Yeah? He pooted. And what happened? The father challenged him. Look, yes, your brother's come back. We had to celebrate and rejoice. Well, anyway, we don't know what happened in the end. But here we have this, an assurance that there is joy in the courts of heaven over one sinner who repents, the 99 people who need not to repent. That's the story. What's the message? What's the new message? Is there a new message here? I believe there is. I was down the beach this morning with my dog, having a lovely time, walking along the Millennium Coastal Park. It really was nice. You meet the same people more or less every day. And some were walking and some were cycling. And let me tell you, these cyclists are dangerous creatures. When they're on the Millennium Coastal Park. And they're speeding along in their bikes, you know. But I thought this morning, isn't the bicycle a wonderful invention? Think of it for a moment. I looked back then when I got home over the history of the bicycle. 1817, apparently. It was put together as a structure, and there were wooden wheels, first of all, and no pedals. And what happened was, you just had to push along. Now, it was a result, of course, of the lack of transport in those days, looking for an easy way of transport. But today, we have these super bikes, and they can travel at great speed. And they can travel at great speed, of course they can. But what's missing? Balance. Yeah? If there wasn't balance, get on a bicycle and you fall on the floor. If there wasn't balance, if there wasn't that human element within it to make the wheels work and to cycle the pedals, then it would be in vain. And I looked around the creative beauty of God's creation and I saw everything that man has created all around us in the world, but without his grace, without his created order, there'd be nothing. Because God said, let there be light, and there was light. There was balance that enables us cyclists to do it. We can live our lives, we can get on the bike, but without the presence of God, we're going to fall over. Without his presence and his peace and his leading and guidance, we are going to be people who endeavour in vain. Look at the beauty of creation. People say, oh, God should reveal himself, and then I believe in him. He's revealed himself in everything he has created. Every tree, every flower. The ability of man falls against his magnetism, his grace, and the impetus that he puts into us to love our neighbour and to do good while we're here. Because that's the God of the Bible. And more than anything more wonderful than that, he is a Father who loves us. And the psalmist declared to us that he is long-suffering and kind. The God of all power, the God who created the ends of the earth, the God who gives us this new dawn today, the God who gives us the gift of balance, the God who has given us the gift of science, the God who has given us the gift of the ability to discern that which is right and wrong, is the God who is in creation and cares for us and in Christ has revealed himself to us. But more than anything, he's a God of love. He's a God of love. That's what the Word of God reminds us of and enables us to be sure of day by day. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love, tender and true, streams from the heart of the Father above, streaming to me and to you who are new in the faith today. Be sure that this God is a God who is a Father of us all. Be sure that it has been revealed through the Scriptures, his very nature and character. Be sure that in the fullness of time, we have seen him in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world of his creation to remedy the enormity of man's rebelliousness and sin, to give us the gifts of his grace that we might be the people of God in the age in which we are living. And all the time, he's waiting and watching for you and me to come home to him. That's what he's doing. He's waiting for us to come to him. Like the father in this story. Every day. Every day. And when we do return, when we come home to him, what does he do? He runs to meet us. That love that was in the Father's heart. I was reading another aspect of this story this week. Why did he run? You know, old Jewish gentlemen didn't run. Okay? They just didn't do it. We see that in Muslim countries today, the way in which the clothes, that were the dignity in which people walk and act. This man was an old gentleman, and he ran. Now, think for a moment, why did he run? Well, of course, when he saw the sun, his heart was filled with joy. But there's something more here. Because there was a law within the Torah that spoke about a wayward son. Remember now, he'd asked for his inheritance. And what he said to his father, asking for the inheritance, he more or less said, I wish you were dead. I want what I'd get when you were dead. That was his contempt for his father. But his father loved him still. The law was that if a wayward boy sinned against his father, he should be taken outside the city walls and stoned to death. That was the law of Moses. In his mind, the father thought, the whole community knows about this boy of mine. He knows how he's rebelled against me. He knows that he has sinned against the law of Moses and the prophet. Do you know why he ran? In case others got to him first and stoned him to death. Such was his love and his protection. A sovereign protector have I, unseen yet forever at hand. That is the God who loves you and me with such a love. He seeks to come to us and he runs to us in our need and he yearns for us to come back to him and he protects us by his grace. That's why this message is worth proclaiming every Father's Day. The very nature and character of God. But there's another son, isn't there? And when he came home and suddenly realised that they were having a party, a celebration. Good gracious me, even us Baptists are very careful about our celebrations. You know, I mean to say. The reality is there was a party, there was dancing, there was singing, there was rejoicing. And this boy had come in from the fields and he heard what's going on. He said, what's going on? And one of the servants said, oh, your brother has come home. And your father has thrown a party to welcome him home. He was infuriated. He was not willing. And you know what he said? All these years, I have labored strong for you. I've never asked for anything. And now, this son of yours has come back. And you kill the fatted calf because he has come back safe and sound. He was angry. He was indignant. My son, everything I have is yours now. But we had to celebrate and rejoice. You see what he was saying to the Pharisees and scribes? You have the law of Moses and the prophets. Everything is given to you. You are the children of Abraham. You have been given the Torah, the law of God. You are the people who have been blessed by God because through you, God was going to work out his purposes to bring the whole of the Gentile world and the whole world to a knowledge of his love in the coming of Jesus. Everything has been given to you. And yet you have become hard-hearted. Yet you have become unforgiving. Yet you lack grace. And you lack the love that you should have had for your brother. He is your brother. He's a wayward, lost boy who has come home. What do you expect me to do? You had everything. Dear friends, we in the Christian church are blessed because we have received the greatest gift of God's grace. We have been given the Son. We have seen him, we have beheld him, his glory is ever before us. We have seen him. The Word has become flesh. No longer do we walk in darkness, but in light. Do you know, dear friends, religion will never save you. Religion will never be the means of redemption. Look what religion has done in the world. Look at the enmity, look at the fear. Look at the self-righteousness and the judgment that many people give upon other Christians, sometimes in the depths of what is supposed to be evangelical theology. No! No! We are sinners saved by the grace of God, and because of that we extend that love and that acceptance and forgiveness to all. There's no confines here, no restrictions here. We had to do it! And because we have seen him, because we have beheld his glory, because Christ is alive, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, he enables us to be the people of God. Let's be like this Father on Father's Day. Let's show this love in the life of the church, in the life of our own personal lives. Let us not be judgmental of any who come through the doors of this building or any building that's like it. Let's remember the fathers who have gone before us, who walked with us and taught us the ways of faith and truth and love. Let's remember those who had been touched by the grace of God, who enabled us to be the people we are today, because we saw in them something of Jesus. We saw something of Jesus so much in this Father. And that's why it's good news, and that's why it's worth preaching again and again. And God willing, if I'm here next year, you'll hear the same sermon again. because it's exciting, it's joyous, it's good news. And for that we give thanks to God today. It teaches people like me. I'm not 6 foot above contradiction. We can sometimes in the ministry become, discerning. No. We are called to be as those who serve in his name, to show this Father's love. Because indeed great is his faithfulness. His faithfulness to you and to me. He won't leave you in the darkness and the night of your sin. He won't leave you bereft when bereavement knocks on your door, or if you are suffering in any way. If life is cruel to you and you feel sometimes that the world is against you, there's a Father in heaven who loves you and has given himself for you. And that's why today we proclaim around this table the self-giving of the Christ who died upon the cross for our sin, who gave himself. You know, when you think of that father, that boy had been living with pigs. He'd been eating the food of pigs. He hadn't put clean clothes on. He'd just come as he was. Think for a moment of that father embracing him, taking the filth of the pigs upon his own body. Think of the Lord Jesus bearing shame and scoffing rude. In our place condemned he stood. The love of God that meets with you and me in him. No restrictions. Just come to him then. Believe and trust in him. Because there's a Father in heaven who loves you and has given himself for you. Jesus is Lord, dear friends, to the glory of God. Praise be to his name on this Father's and every day. Amen.